Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Church, as we get ready, when I say the church, that's God's people. That's God's people. And God's going to make that very clear to Solomon, that there's a distinction between God's people and the people of the world. There's a distinction. But before I do that, let me just encourage your heart, because the title of the message this morning is Be Encouraged in the Lord. And by the way, how long has it been? I'm only asking for you to look inwardly. How long has it been since you encouraged the Lord? How long has it been since you said to your Heavenly Father, I am really proud of who you are and what you mean to my life? That's really, really big. So this morning, as we get ready to get into God's Word, and if you have your Bibles, you can go along there, because I'm going to actually read the whole passage, verses 12 through 18. And then we'll get right into God's Word on being encouraged in the Lord. If you were to ask me, what would you say is one of the greatest needs in our country today? It would not take me long to give you an answer. Are you ready? Pretend you want to know. Building relationships. If you study history, you know that this is a nation that's very good at building. But now, we're in an era where we are in the midst of destroying, not buildings, but relationships. Jesus came to establish relationships. Have you got that? One of the hallmarks that God has always used to build relationships is encouragement. Are you gathering the information this morning? Where there is encouragement, there's the establishment of relationship. When people walk in discouragement, destruction is right around that next corner. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for those insights right there. I thank you, Father God, that you are the one that will establish and you will also encourage us in every relationship. May we build relationships based upon the word of the Most High God, which will always be eternal. Father, I pray just in these brief moments around your word that we will be saturated by words of encouragement and preparation to encourage those who are in deep, deep trouble or are facing issues of this past week, where we are able to step in and bring assistance. In Jesus' name, we speak encouragement this morning over the body of Christ. We speak encouragement over businesses. We speak encouragement over our schools. We speak words of encouragement within marriages where couples are building each other up, building up their children, building up their loved ones. May we build up one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, actually, I could close right there. Because if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you've just gathered a lot of information. We're doing one or two things every day. We're either building relationships or we're destroying relationships. That's all. There's no middle ground. Just like there's a heaven to gain, and the old time individuals used to say, and a hell to shun, and there's nothing in between. There's nothing in between in relationships. You're either doing one of the two. You're either building or you're destroying. Come on, church. My father was both a pastor and he also was a construction builder. I never saw him tear down what he was building. Right now, where are you, Pastor? I'm talking before we go to 2 Chronicles that a marriage cannot make it if we're constantly tearing down that which God has put together. Amen? You can't expect your children to go forward if they get more negative information at the home than they do at school. We must build up our children. We must encourage them and strengthen them. Helen Keller put it this way: character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. If our children and grandchildren and our co-workers are going to be able to get through trials and testings and suffering, they've got to be built up every day. You've got to encourage one another in the Lord. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 12, because where we're going to be focusing down the road with his permission is verse 14. And everyone knows verse 14, don't we? But you don't want to take scripture out of context and read a verse and not know what was before and after. So listen to this conversation between God and Solomon. By the way, how long has it been since you had a conversation with him? See, it's interesting for us to be able to read. And sometimes, if we'll be honest, sometimes even boring. Like, why do I want to read what God had to say to Solomon? So you can understand he'd like to say the same thing to you in the context of your life. Here's the conversation. Reading from the Message Bible. God appeared to Solomon that very night and said, "I accept your prayer. Yes, I've chosen this place as a temple for sacrifice, a house of worship. If I ever shut up the supply of rain from the skies or order the locusts to eat the crops or send a plague on my people, and my people, my God-defined people," listen closely, "whenever you hear someone speak, make sure that whatever they speak goes back to the Word of God. If it doesn't align with the Word of God, what they said may have been cool, may have been good, but it may not have been biblical. A few moments ago, I said there's a distinction between the people of God and the people of the world. What the world's trying to do is to get that to mesh. That would be the movement of the Antichrist." Listen prophetically, please. "There is a distinction between those who are going to heaven and those who have chosen not to. It is not God's purpose or will that any should perish, but that everyone would come to the saving knowledge of their own religious leader," incorrect, "to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." So church, this morning as I continue to read, I want you to know that if you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are defined by God. "My God-defined people respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives. I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive sins, and restore the land to its original health." Listen closely. This morning, I want to give you several words of encouragement from those words that God gave to Solomon. Are you ready? Let's begin. In verse 12, God appears to Solomon and he says to him, "I accept your prayer." Are you ready? "If you'll speak, he'll listen and he will accept your prayers." That's the word of encouragement from verse 12. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the writer says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." You know, there are Christians out there that will say, "Just ask anything and he'll answer." That's not what the word says. Let's see what the word says. "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God." So, by the way, you can approach him. I don't think anyone's going to be able to approach the president this afternoon. I don't think any of us, unless you know him personally, will be able to approach the governor this afternoon. You won't be able to approach our former mayor because he's no longer here. And you and I don't know if we'll be here tomorrow. But you do have the right of way to approach God right now. You can actually be praying while I'm preaching this morning. And you can have confidence that if you ask God anything, listen, according to his will. Listen to what it says. He hears us. I'm inviting you this morning in the word of encouragement. God will accept your prayers. Start praying. And even asking, "Father, I'm not even sure how I'm supposed to articulate this. I'm not sure how I'm really supposed to pray, but teach me how to pray and teach me to get in alignment with your will. If you don't think man doesn't have an issue with will, just step inside your home and watch the challenge of children, your children, with you as an authoritative figure in the home. Come on, church. Trust the teaching of God's word, please. Please trust the teaching of God's will. It's so important that I am able to understand this very simple concept. Until I bow my knees, I humble my heart, and I pray, my will and God's will are in opposition. Mahatma Gandhi said this, "Prayer is not asking, it is a longing of the soul. It is daily admission of one's weakness." That's a good place to start in regards to God's will. God, I have no clue about this coming week. And in fact, as I look at what is laid out before me, Father, I'm not sure I can even do it. I feel so weak in comparison to the task. Now you're on course. Rather than, God, I've got this. I can do this. He goes on to say, it's better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Let me read that last line again. It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. God is pleased when I just bow, when you bow, when we bow in his presence, and we don't have a clue of what we need to say. We don't even know how to say what our hearts are crying for, but we just begin to bow in humility. He's going to talk about that later. In humility. Let me pause right here and say, I was listening to Adrian Rogers yesterday, and he said this, there will never be true revival without humility. Now, I've seen a lot of things through the course of my life, and you can always tell what's real and what's not based on humility. I mean, when God, we sang about that this morning, correct? When God is willing to come and to wash our feet, that's pretty awesome. Go ask the president to wash your feet. Go ask the governor to wash your feet. Go ask your commissioners to wash your feet. But God came in our human form, our likeness, and he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Come on, church. He humbled himself. And he took on the form of a servant. Be encouraged this morning. God's waiting on your prayers. Not only will he accept your prayers, he's waiting on that conversation. Your heart to his heart, God's waiting. Another theologian has put it this way, the function of prayer is not to influence God. Are you with me this morning? But rather to change the nature of the one who prays. In the King James Version, it's put this way, if my people which are called by my name, his name gives you a new nature. I remember one time disappointing my father, and all that he said to me was this. Son, he used that term a lot. Son, you have disappointed me as your father. He said that to me. I didn't care. I didn't say that to him, but that's what I had in my heart. Church, can you hear me this morning? When God saves you, when God redeems you, when God redeemed me, he didn't just give me his name so that I could walk in authority. He gave me a new nature. And every day that new nature is supposed to come forth. We used to sing, and some still do, to be like Jesus. That's the theme. That's the call. That's the cry. Are you listening this morning? Second verse that he begins to bring out here in this incredible correspondence between God and Solomon. Verse 13, please. Yes, I've chosen this place as a temple for sacrifice. It is a house of worship. I think I'm going to give you one and two this morning, and that might be good for today. Because I want you to know that God wants you to pray. But you got to know that when you begin to pray, God's not changing his will, he's changing ours. That's why a lot of people don't pray. Come on, church. Let's look at the second one. Yes, I've chosen this place as a temple for sacrifice, a house of worship. Are you with me for a few more moments? Be encouraged this morning. You are God's temple. It does matter what you do with this. If it's small, if it's big, if it's little, or if it's not. Whatever the size of the temple, trust me, God's very interested in your temple. And I want you to notice he puts these two together. Sacrifice and worship, they go hand in hand. True worship in a marriage is when both husband and wife are sacrificing for the good of the home. That's worship. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Remember now, in the old covenant, he came to live in that tabernacle, but God knew then what it was going to be like in the new covenant. Does that make sense? So God knows all about the transition from being stuck in the tabernacle, being stuck in the ark of the covenant. He knew that ultimately, because of his son's sacrifice, he was going to come and he was going to take up residence in us. Let me explain it to you this way. I like to break things down. It does matter who you sleep with. I also found it does matter who you marry. I told you man has a will. And it's strong, and it's powerful, but it has to bow at the cross, or it gets emptied into hell. You either bow at the cross, or you empty in hell. Is that easy for me to have to say that? Absolutely not. But is it the truth? It is absolutely the truth. No one bypasses the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ and enters, because there's no back doors into the kingdom. There's no back doors into the kingdom. You're either coming by the bloodstained way of the cross. Pastor, I know all of this, but are we daily, as believers, submitting our will to that bloodstained cross? Daily. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? I was researching some things the other day, and someone said, our temples are open, and then we define and describe who God is. Really? Really? That's exactly what's going on in our society. But that's not what God has to say. Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Listen. We've all gathered so we know he's here with us. But when we leave, this will be an open facility, but the temple goes out there and the Spirit of God dwells in here. So let me ask myself a question this morning. Notice how I phrased that? Let me ask myself this question. Am I embarrassing or enriching the Holy Spirit every day in my life? I didn't ask you, I asked myself. Am I embarrassing the Holy Spirit who dwells in my life, or am I enriching my relationship with the Holy Spirit every day in my life? Watch this. Something has to be sacrificed every day. We're at the close of the message for this morning. If my worship is going to be authentic, there will be a sacrifice that I'm going to make every day. We used to sing years ago, is your all on the altar a sacrifice made? God doesn't want a partial sacrifice. When I married Robin, I didn't want just a part of Robin. I wanted all of Robin. When Robin married me, she didn't want just part of me, like go out and do the work, but when you come home, just shut down. God is no different. He gave his all so that we might be able to receive his all, that we might do exactly what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says to do. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, watch this, which is your reasonable service. Man, pastor's asking way too much this morning. It's all reasonable. But the more that I make that sacrifice, that not my way, not my will, not what I want done, but what he wants done, it doesn't matter. Now my worship becomes authentic. Does that make sense? So now let's do a quick review. And I hope that your hearts have been encouraged this morning. And I hope that as we have communion together, you will absolutely maybe have a picture or a moment where you will recognize what he did for you down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to the place of suffering, to Golgotha, that you might really consider once again. Oh, man, Dennis, that was 2,000 years ago. But the blood has not lost its power. So I want you to be encouraged in the Lord today. Why? Because these reasons, let's go back over them real quick. Are you ready? God will accept your prayers. Start talking. And it doesn't have to be a perfect prayer. Just open up your heart. Open up your heart. I was somewhere the other day and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, kids today as in all days are giving themselves to each other, but they're not giving their hearts. But the heart gets affected more than the body. The heart gets affected more than the body. So God says to Solomon, I accept your prayers. Secondly, he says to him, I've chosen this place. You're chosen of God. Not this place. Not this. Because eventually this ministry is going to move outside these walls. What he has accepted is not only your prayers, but he's chosen you. You should have your heads up. You should, I don't mean right now because you, I'm just saying you should walk every day with your heads up, knowing, man, I'm chosen of God. But that will cause you to be humble, not arrogant, not proud. But humble, to think that God would be willing to come and to choose us. I think it was last Sunday when we were out there playing, and I think I made a wise decision by just being the person that was going to roll the ball. But someone said, man, I don't want to be the last one chosen. Hey, if he'll choose me, I can be the last one. Just don't forget me. The other day as I was coming from work in Bronson, I looked up and I said, I know that I know you, but do you know me? And I'm there again for this moment as we move towards communion. Listen, the Bible says that it's important, listen, that he knows you. You can walk out of here saying, yeah, I've heard of Jesus and I know Jesus. But the real question is, does he know me? Meaning this, he chose me. I didn't choose him. That ought to so encourage everybody in this house this morning. You should be so strengthened. Wow. The lights were off. There was no one around. And I was standing there all by myself in the miry clay. And I heard a voice. And he called me out of all of that. He chose me. He has chosen you. And in that choosing, he said, I want to come and dwell in you. You know, I'm not going to teach this morning on demonic activity, but if we could ever understand all the sexual relationships, behind that stands the unseen world. Dr. Erwin Lutzer from Moody Church has an incredible series on spiritual bonds created through sexual activity. And you think I don't care about who my daughter goes out with? You're crazy. You're really crazy. Because I know that spiritual bonds have long-term effects and can affect generations. Where are the soldiers of the cross? He's ready to accept your prayers. And the last thing that we spoke about this morning was this: your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me see if I can use this, because marriage is a picture of the church. Just like I don't want anyone else touching my wife, God doesn't want anybody else touching me, the things of this world. I don't mean you can't come up and touch me. That's not what I'm talking about. That would be very shallow thinking. I'm talking about where I say, man, you know what? Ooh, that's so inviting. Ooh, that's so enticing. Ooh, I just got to have. Sounds just like David, doesn't it? Sounds just like Solomon. When God said, no, Solomon, you don't need all of those things, and you don't need those women from those foreign countries. Solomon, though he was wise, was foolish. Let me go back over that one more time as we come to a close now. Listen closely. Just like I don't want anyone else touching my wife. That's how God feels towards me. And by the way, the Bible says he is a jealous God. And it just makes sense to me, as I grow closer to the finish line, there should be less of the world in my life. Jesus put it this way: in this world, but not of this world. Of course I'm here, and of course I enjoy all these various things, but it doesn't have to contaminate me. It doesn't have to own me. It doesn't have to shape my thinking. And how does that all happen, Pastor? By every day getting on my knees, bowing my head, and putting my will where it belongs, at the foot of the cross. Slowly, 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 I'm learning that though it took Jesus only one time in the garden, for most of us, we have to go there every day. Can you hear me this morning? And we need to be praying what Jesus prayed every day in the garden. Listen closely. Father, if it would be possible, let this cup pass from me. That's what Jesus said. Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. So let's look at Jesus. That should be the prayer every day in my life. Perhaps it should be in yours too. Finding that quiet place, bowing and saying, I don't get it. Maybe never will get this, but I'm putting my will where it belongs. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So let's look at Jesus. Can we do that as we get ready to close in prayer and for communion, especially as you walk to have communion? Let's look at Jesus for a moment. Was he a man of prayer? Most definitely. Was his prayers accepted by the Father? Most definitely. Was he a man of worship? His greatest worship was on the cross. Whew. Was he a man who was sacrificial? And did he sacrifice? He most definitely did. I can't even put my feet in his sandals, let alone my will where his was, when I'm thinking about Peter. Did you hear what I said? I can't even put my feet in his sandals, let alone my will where his was. He knew Peter, and yet he did what we probably are not willing to do. And there's a picture of it down at Southeastern University, and it gets all lit up at night. It's a picture of several of the disciples, and there's Peter, and there in front of Peter is Jesus, and there's Jesus washing his feet. Was Jesus the epitome of the man of encouragement? He most definitely was. Let's go back through it real quick, because I want to make sure you have this morning. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When other people tell you to come down from the cross, are you going to listen to them, or are you going to honor the Father? He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't do it. His body was a temple. His greatest act was at the cross. His greatest sacrifice was in the garden. His prayers were always accepted because we could see what he did at night by what he did in the daytime. He was a man of prayer at night, and by day he performed mighty works that he always said would glorify his Father. Shall we pray? Down through the ages, Father, there have been those who have come before many generations that were trying to steal away attention from you to them. And we live in a world today that is populated by all of that and so much more. But we have found our Redeemer. We have sung about him this morning. We've been captured and captivated by him in this message. There's none like Jesus. There's never been a president. There's never been a world leader. There's never been a preacher. There's never been a religious leader. There's never been anyone that comes close to Jesus. And this morning, we bow in the presence of the Most High. And we would say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Worthy is the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Worthy is the one who is the Rose of Sharon. Worthy is the one who is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Thank you for what you said to Solomon, Father, and demonstrated in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, and now you long for it to be demonstrated in our lives. We bring our tabernacles, we bring our temples to you today. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would cleanse us with your word, encourage us this day through the word, and may we walk from this place as shining lights, knowing that the cup and the bread brings cleansing and healing. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this house and how receptive we are to the word of God. May we walk now from this place encouraged by the Holy Spirit, that our bodies are the temple of the Most High God, and that our sacrifice is one of worship. We give you praise. And Father, for someone in this house who wants so much to pour out their heart to you, may they find a secret place, and may they just begin to share with you everything that's going on in their world, and to know that you're longing to accept the cry of their heart. This I pray in Jesus' name. Be honored and glorified. And we will not touch your glory. We will not touch your glory. Now, church, as we transition, allow me to pray this very simple prayer. Father, as we come to communion, starting with me, to everyone in this house and all the children and the infants, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Where we have failed, forgive us. And we want fellowship with you restored through communion today. May your people be strengthened, and may they be well defined, even as you did for Solomon. Well defined. In Jesus' name be glorified. And God's people said, amen. I trust this morning you've received God's word in your heart, and we're ready for communion. We're going to have an awesome worship time. I'm going to need Kelly and Carl, if you men will come. So, Pastor, how do we do communion here? Thanks for asking. If you're on this side of the auditorium, you can come this way. Thank you, James. Thank you, men. If you're here to that side, you can come to this side, okay? Enjoy. The baskets are available, so you can drop the little cups there, all right? Let's stand together. This is a time where we are well-defined in a communion time with the Lord. Following our communion and the close of the awesome worship that's about to come forth. We're going to have Chris, who's getting ready to go into the Navy. We're going to recognize him this morning along with Carl, and we're going to have a prayer over his life this morning. God bless you in communion this morning.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.